Good evening, church. How many hadn't had supper yet? How many are still digesting supper? How many have McDonald's wrappers in your floorboard right now from eating coming here? I just like to know about my audience and how things are. We got homework tonight? No homework. That's pretty neat. I'm really glad you're here tonight. We've got a great audience for a Monday night, and I'm really glad that you're here. Some of the dearest friends I have in the whole world live in this area, Kentucky. This is a pretty neat place to live, isn't it? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Good place to live, isn't it? I live in Middle Tennessee, which is a lot like this area of Kentucky. I lived in Danville for about 25 years, so we blue pretty fluently, and it's just an honor to be back here this week. I need to say something before I start tonight's lesson. I beseech your prayers for our work at World Christian Broadcasting. We have the ears of the entire world every day through shortwave broadcasting. Would you agree with me this world's in a mess? And the only hope for our world is Jesus. You've seen the pictures coming out of Afghanistan. We have listeners in Afghanistan. And I can't imagine living there looking for hope and looking for encouragement. Tonight there will be a little girl or a little boy that will hear the sweet name of Jesus for the very first time. And if we have the ears of the entire world every day, we need to be saying what the world needs to hear. So would you please put the work of World Christian Broadcasting on your prayer list? Our guys in Alaska, they're getting warmed up, ready to turn on our signal in just a few hours. It'll broadcast to about one half of the world. And our folks in Madagascar, they've just finished up broadcasting for the day. We broadcast 30 hours every day, literally to the entire world. Would you please put that on your prayer list? Because there's some places we're their only hope of hearing messages about Jesus and messages of encouragement. So would you please do that? Let's have a Bible check. Hold them up. These young people, they're ready. They brought their Bibles. Everybody, that's pretty good. That's not as good as yesterday, but this is good. We're going to look on one page of the text again tonight. That's how I like to preach. I want us to get to a page and just dig and pull and get all the stuff out of the text that we need to. Every time you read the Bible, I want you to read it like you're reading it for the very first time. Because every time you read it, you're going to discover something new about the text you hadn't seen before. For those who have been here with us all day yesterday, there's a plan to my lessons. Our first lesson in Bible class yesterday was to talk about mission. And to talk about how you and I sometimes, with everything going on in our world, it's really easy to get off mission. It's really get kind of out of focus as an individual, as a family, and as a church. So we tried to talk about what the mission of the body of Jesus Christ is as we talked about Matthew chapter 28 and resurrection morning. Sunday morning also, we talked about Daniel chapter 3. We talked about living through a fiery furnace. And many in this room right now are in the midst of a fiery furnace. Some of us have been through a fiery furnace, and some still has one to go. So how in the world, why wouldn't God deliver us from a fiery furnace? That was the second lesson we talked about. Last night we talked about forgiveness. We talked about John chapter 21, that Jesus had some unfinished business with the Apostle Peter. He wanted Peter to know that he was raised up from the grave, that he was going back to heaven, that he needed Peter to be involved again, that everything between him and Peter was okay. Peter blew it big time. So the lesson last night was for any of us who have crashed and burned spiritually. And if you live long enough, there's going to be moments in your life or maybe longer periods in your life when you spiritually crash and burn. And if you've been there and you've had a difficult time forgiving yourself, you need to go back and reread John chapter 21. Because there's a great discussion that Jesus had with Peter to say, Peter, we're okay, now get back to work. Go back to work. Tonight I want to take another slant toward kind of that particular theme, and I want to talk about your daily walk. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John again, chapter number 13. John chapter number 13 is where we're going to be studying tonight. And let me tell you why. John 13 talks about our daily walk and how God wants us to live. Every one of my lessons, I want to give you something you can use on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day of your life. And tonight is going to be a real challenging study. So as I've tried to tell you yesterday, tie your shoelaces tight, lean forward, because we're about to be challenged. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. I hope I can tell you later. I hope I can remember to tell you later. You're going to have a test on what we're going to study tonight. You're going to have a test on it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And what we're about to study is from the lips of Jesus. So let's study together John chapter 13. As you turn there and get it ready to study, this is Thursday night before the crucifixion. This is Thursday night before crucifixion. And this is the Lord, this is the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples. Whoever painted the Last Supper didn't paint it right. The disciples were not all lined up behind the table. They reclined to eat. Now I could get into that. Could anybody in the room get into that? Tonight the deacons fed me dinner. Your deacons cook really good. They didn't let me lay on the floor, though, to eat my meal. But I could get into the laying. That's what they did back in the first century. You reclined at the table. So as we read this story and as we get down towards some applications to your daily walk and mine, I want us to follow Jesus as he teaches us a life-changing principle or two from this great passage. John 13, beginning verse 1. It's Thursday night and they're having this meal together. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I think sometimes we read the Bible real cold. I think we just call some words and read on down the text. I want you to pause for a moment with me and look at the heart of Jesus, what he's dealing with right now in his life. He's about to go to the cross in a few hours. He knows the very disciples he's been trying to train and get ready, they're going to desert him. One of them is going to betray him for a few pieces of money. He's going to have a disciple that will even deny him in a short period of time. Can you imagine the emotions that Jesus is dealing with at this moment in his life? I want to encourage you, when you read the Bible, pause every now and then and just picture and kind of sense what's happening. As we looked at verse number 1 and 2. So let's skip verse 3. We'll come back to it. Go to verse 4 with me. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let's stop right there. What in the world is this washing of feet stuff? Back in Bible times, if I came to your house, you would have someone toward the front door to greet me there, and they would wash my feet. I would probably have been outside walking in slime with sandals on. And if we're going to recline at the table, somebody might get mixed up and turn the wrong way, and I'm eating right there looking at feet. So every time that you would have a guest come to your home, you'd be having someone there to wash their feet. You would also have that person maybe to put some lotion on their cheeks and foreheads because it's a very dry and arid climate. That's how they would show hospitality. That's how they would greet someone who came to their house. Well, this room is filled up with proud hearts and dirty feet. Well, how do you know that? Because nobody had taken the time to wash anybody's feet. So the room is filled up with proud hearts and dirty feet. And Jesus takes it upon himself. He gets up from the table. By the way, the disciples are at the table having that meal. Can you envision them, what they might be talking about? Can you envision their discussions sitting at that table? Got an idea. They didn't even notice when Jesus got up without any fanfare. He walks over and takes off his outer coat, gets a basin of water and a towel, and he comes and he starts washing the disciples' feet. Can you picture that scene? Whose feet did he wash? Peter's and Judas. Would anybody in this room, this means no. Would you have any difficulty washing Judas's feet? This means I wouldn't. Would you have any trouble washing Judas's feet? Yeah. I got an idea, knowing Jesus, that he washed the feet of Judas the best. I don't mean to be real funny here, but I bet you he washed between Judas's toes even. I bet he washed his feet really, really good. Doesn't that sound like something Jesus would do? He washes the disciples' feet. Peter is going to come back in the scene in our story tonight. Verse 6, he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know it hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Tell me something you should never say. I didn't hear you. What should you never say? Never. You never need to never say never. You will never wash my feet. Peter is missing the whole point. Many of us would like to be like the Apostle Paul, strong, courageous, on target, but probably truthfully we are more like the Apostle Peter, always sticking our feet in our mouth. He had hoof and mouth disease. Did you know that? He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. You remember they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appears, and what does Peter say? Let's just worship everybody that's up here. God's voice had to say, no, you need to listen to my boy. Many other times, Peter, but before you get hard on Peter, he does hold the world's record for the longest distance walked on water by a human being. Are you with me there? He did walk on the water for a short period of time. He holds the world's record for the longest distance walked on water by a human being. But now he's about to stick his foot in his mouth again. You will never, never wash my feet. Look at the answer of Jesus. In the latter part of verse 8, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If it depends upon getting wet, just give me a bath, because I want you to know I'm on your team. I want to be a part. I want to follow you. He just changes feet, doesn't he, all the time. We're about to get down to the lesson for you and me, because everybody's feet have now been washed, and Jesus now is going to take his place back at the table. Look in verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? I got a question for you. How much time elapsed between... In verse number 12, how much time elapsed before he said, after he sat down, do you know what I've done for you? I wonder how was it a few seconds? Was it a minute or so? As he sat back down at the table, I got an idea the disciples are going, did you see what he just did? Did you see that? What's he doing? Did you see him wash feet like that? You know that they were chit-chatting back and forth. They're human beings. You know that's how they would have done that. So Jesus, after a bit, says, guys, do you understand what I've done for you here? Do you see the lesson that is coming? And of course they didn't. You're listening great tonight. We're about to get into the story. We're about to learn something very, very powerful that Jesus wants us to learn about our daily lives. Read back with me in the text. And let's continue reading in verse number 13. Jesus says in the end of verse 12, do you realize what I've done? And then he teaches valuable principles of lessons. I want you to underline in your Bible. Look in verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus is not giving us here another act of worship. He's not giving us something that we need to do when we come together in the assembly. He's teaching an attitude about life. Do you guys understand what I've done for you? And of course they didn't. So Jesus said, guys, I'm your Lord and Master, and that's what you call me, and that's what I am. If I have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Answer me this question. If Jesus had been a prideful, arrogant leader, what would he have said instead? I've washed your feet, now what? You come wash my feet. If he was an arrogant, boastful leader, that's what he would have said. I've washed your feet. All right, your turn to come wash mine. But that wasn't the lesson he was trying to teach them. He says, guys, if I've washed your feet, and it's a principle about life that he wants us to plug into all of our lives, if I've washed your feet, now wash one another's feet. Jesus is teaching us here the principle of being a servant. I need your eyes right here for a second. I've got a question for you. Back at your house, are you there to serve or be served? In your marriage, are you there to serve or be served? Back in your classrooms at school, are you there to serve or be served? There's a big difference in the two. Jesus is teaching us a daily principle about every one of our lives to practice every day to be a servant. Andy, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that troubles me. I'm in a troubled marriage. I'm in a dead-end job. I'm in a situation that I can't handle. How should I live my life? There's a lot of things I can't change about my life. Tonight, if you'll listen to this lesson, you'll never be the same, because of the principle that Jesus is going to teach us of how to live no matter what's going on around us, in us, or to us. He's now said to the disciples, you need to wash one another's feet. You need to live a life of being a servant. Let's continue reading and see more challenges from Jesus as he discusses with his disciples. Look in verse 15. I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, I've done this for you that you can go back and preach a sermon about it. Although I hope it's not bad to preach a sermon about it, because that's what I'm doing. He also didn't say, I have washed your feet and I've done this so you can go back and have a Bible class about it. Although it would be a great Bible class to have. He said, I've done this that you might wash one another's feet. I've given you this example that you should do as I've done to you. It gets more challenging. Go on down the page with me. In verse number 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, what things? The teachings about being a servant. If you'll let that soak into your life, if you will be a servant as well, look what he says in verse 17. Happy are ye if you do them. I want you to realize the principle that Jesus is teaching us right here to challenge and change our daily walk. Jesus wants us to be servants in every area of our life. That's why I asked you a moment ago, in your marriage, are you there to serve or be served? I have a friend who for Christmas a few years ago, his wife is known for getting him his tea glass filled up often at lunchtime. They gave him a glass, large glass with a bell on it. Is he in that marriage to serve or be served? He's in that marriage to be served. And if you've got a marriage where both of you in that marriage, if you're there to serve, if you're there to be served, you're probably miserable. A double dog dare you to ask your spouse when you get home tonight, do you think I'm here in this marriage to serve or be served? A double dog dare you to ask your kids. They know. A double dog asks you to ask your kids, are we there to serve or be served? Jesus says, I want you to realize the principle that will change your life. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's going on to you, if you'll accept this principle, Jesus says, you're going to be happy if you do it. You're listening great tonight. Now we're down to the sermon. Because this is easy to get, to really the desire to be a servant. And Jesus, you remember the story earlier when James and John's mother came to Jesus and she's thinking he's going to set up his kingdom. And what does he want? What does she want for her boys? Right hand and left hand. Okay, and our government, who sits on the right hand of our president? Vice president. Who sits on the left hand? Is it Speaker of the House? Is that, somebody help me here. Is that right? Y'all should know. Is that right? Well, whoever that is, that's what she wanted for her boys. And before you get down on Mrs. Zebedee, what was she really wanting? The best for her boys. Now, how many of you parents in the room would like to have the best for your children? I mean, you would wish the same thing, that they would have the best. And Jesus says, no, that's not for me to give. In fact, then he taught a great lesson on that page. He said, the greatest in the kingdom are those that serve. I need your eyes here for a second. I hadn't got Judgment Day all figured out yet. Bart, you got it all figured out yet? How it's going to look? I'm not quite there yet. I don't know how he's going to call us before him. I wouldn't mind if he called us alphabetically. Bart doesn't like that. He doesn't like that idea. I ain't got that figured out, who he's going to call. It may be by alphabetical. Be fine with me. But he's going to call the greatest in the kingdom first. And when he announces that name, we're all going to go, who? Because it'll be somebody down at local church that cleaned the potties for 15 years. It'll be the ones that prepared communion at their little church for 45 years. It'll be a name of a Sunday school teacher. It might even be the name of Thomas B. Warren. It wouldn't bother me a bit. Don't know how the Lord's going to do it. But you see, the greatest in the kingdom are those that are servants. True or false? Or let's go this way. This means yes, this means no. We naturally are servants, aren't we? No. We want our way. We want it when we want it, the way we want it. But Jesus says, I want to give you a life-changing principle. If you'll make up your mind to become a servant, you're going to be happy. Your life is going to take on new meaning. Jesus even said, you'll be happy if you do them. Now the sermon starts. How do you do that? I have some co-workers at my work that drive me crazy. I have some classmates that I'm with in classes that just drive me crazy. Smile at me if this is true. My mom drives me crazy. Just smile and mom won't see it. I'll let y'all smile. My teen drives me crazy. How do you serve? My boss is mean. He's inconsiderate. How do I do that? I'm in a marriage where my husband is selfish. How do I do that? How do I try to be a servant when nobody else is being a servant? To this point in the lesson, I want you to come to a conviction in your heart that I'm going to really become a servant in my marriage, in my life, in my classroom, across the back fence with your neighbor. I'm going to become a servant. I'm going to change who I am. You'll have a different marriage tomorrow morning if you'll go home and commit yourself to being a servant. Would you want an elder who was a servant? Would you want a preacher who is a servant? Would you want a deacon who's a servant? Would it be great to have a house full in the church where you're an elder where everybody's a servant? Can you imagine how that would change our churches? How it would change our marriage? If we became a servant. Back to my question for the sermon to start. How do you do that? How did Jesus do it? How could Jesus wash the feet of Judas? How could he wash the feet of the Apostle Peter when he's going to deny him? Let's go back to John chapter 13. And let's let Jesus teach us. In John chapter 13, verse number 3. I want you to underline it in your Bibles or at least in your minds. How Jesus did it. And how he's teaching you and me to do it, even when it's tough to be a servant. Not easy being a servant. Not always rewarding. By the way, if you make up your mind to be a servant at home, there'll be some spouses that will lift up their feet and let you vacuum under their feet. True or false? You want to serve me? Fine with me. Have at it. There's a lot of folks that'll let you serve them. How do you do it? Look at Jesus in verse number 3 of chapter 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, rises from supper. And that we've already read those verses. Did you see the three things that motivated Jesus to be a servant? How in the world could Jesus be a servant to a Judas? How can you and I be a servant to people that are around me? What motivated Jesus? Look at the second thing he mentions. We'll mention that one first. He knew where he was from. He knew he had come from God. Let me get something corrected right now. You did not ooze up from the ooze and you were born in the ooze. You were not just ooze up from the ooze and all of a sudden you became a human being. You are a child of the King. Is anybody glad? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Is anybody glad? You didn't ooze up from the ooze. You are a child of Almighty God. There's nobody like you in the whole world. Nobody has your DNA. Nobody has your fingerprints. There's nobody like you in the world. You are very, very unique. And if we've got the heart of Jesus Christ, every woman we look at is a 10. If you got your head on straight, we view each other through those particular eyes. You need to realize where you're from. You are from Almighty God. And one day He's going to come. And that's the last thing He mentions. He knew where He was going. Where was He going? Didn't hear you. Back to heaven. Church, one day we're going home. One day we're going home to heaven. Is anybody tickled? Y'all appreciate your enthusiasm about it. We're going home one day. This rigmarole of life's going to end. I mentioned to Bart about his granddad in a Bible class teaching us the epistles. And he was talking about heaven. He took his glasses off. We quit taking notes. He just got talking about heaven. And us freshman Bible majors was in awe as he just talked about heaven. Anybody want to go? We're going. The rigmarole of life will soon be over. And one day we will go home. Look back at verse number 3 to get all three things of Jesus that what motivated him. He knew why he was here. He knew that the Father had given to him all things. He knew why he was here. He knew where he was from. And he knew where he was going. Those are the three things that motivated Jesus to be a servant to those that was around him. And he gives us the same principles by which he wants us to live. I want to encourage you to make a decision right now. I'm going to go back in my life and be a servant. I'm going to be a servant in my marriage. I'm going to be a servant in my home. I'm going to be a servant in the classroom. I'm going to be a servant down at church. I'm going to be a servant. And how do you do that? To those that will let you serve them, to those that's hard to serve, you remember who you are. You are a King's kid. Your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. Remember who you are. The second, do anybody in this room have parents that would tell you that before you went out on a date? My mom would always say, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are a child of the King, and that makes all the difference how you live your life. Remember where you're from. Remember where you're going. We're going home. We're going home one day when life is over. And remember why you're here. I need some head nodding. Does that make sense? The lesson makes sense? Need to re-preach it? Talk to me. Communicate with me. Does it make sense? Now, you're going to have a test on this passage tomorrow. In fact, you may have a test on it tonight when you go home. You'll have a test on it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because God calls us to be servants to one another. Let's pray together for a second. Dear Lord, we've studied a passage tonight that's really, really difficult because it means we've got to empty ourselves and serve others that's sometimes hard to serve. I pray, dear Lord, for the application of this study into our daily walk with you. I pray you'll help everybody in this room and everybody listening online, all those that will watch this study time in the future, that you will give us the courage and the commitment to be a servant. Thank you, dear Lord, for this page of Scripture. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who demonstrates to us and show us really what it means to be a servant. And I pray you will bless every one of us as we make some decisions right now. Help us not, dear Lord, help us not to poke somebody else or giggle with somebody else, but to really look inside. Make up our minds, we're going to follow Jesus in this way, which will change our lives and change our marriages and change our churches and change everything about us. Dear Lord, bless the application of this study into our daily walk with you. It's through the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine on you. And may He give you peace. We sing a song to give us encouragement to come back, maybe come back to our Lord. Or maybe you're ready to be immersed into Jesus tonight. We'd love to immerse you into Jesus Christ, to become a child of God, and to change everything about who you are and who you will be in your future. Would you sing with joy? Would you sing with thanksgiving as we stand together right now and as we worship together? Patrick, please.